Blog Talk Radio.
Gerardi on HUR Voices. I'm Javon Harley. Don't forget to visit the website, travelingculturati.com. There you can find all sorts of things, like the Traveling Culturati blog, travel tips, and you can join the travel club. This week's culture report is heading to Mexico, more specifically, the Mexican state of Jalisco, the second largest urban area in Mexico. Jalisco is known for many well-known Mexican attributes like sombreros, rodeos, the Mexican hat dance, and mariachi music. It's also the birthplace of tequila, and that's where we're shining our spotlight today, on the history and culture of that popular libation, tequila.
And with me to dive more into the conversation is Arturo Castro from the National University of Mexico, Head of Cultural Affairs.
Hello. Thanks for the interview.
Oh, thank you for being here. The history and culture of tequila is a fascinating one, and I think it's often misunderstood. I don't know if we really know enough about tequila, or maybe we think we know more about tequila than we actually do. What is the origin of tequila when we talk about geography?
Geographically, tequila comes from Mexico. By law, tequila must come from Mexico, and specifically the agave must come from five states. It's a denomination of origin. So tequila is really a distilled spirit that comes from the agave plant. Technically, you could only call it tequila if it comes from a 51% blue agave, and it is distilled twice. That is tequila.
Now, there is a negative connotation when you talk about tequila that is changed, and or maybe it was just because of our ignorance that we thought that it should be associated with tequila, and that is getting hung over. Why was that the case, and why should that not be considered when you're talking about tequila?
Fortunately and unfortunately, the culture of tequila has grown and it has become more refined. There are over 1,300 registered brands now in the world. And what's happening now is the tequila that you drink now has less sugar in it, therefore giving you less of a hangover. Unfortunately, before the 90s and even 80s, tequila got a bad rap because we were drinking tequila that had too much sugar in it, and it wasn't 100% agave. And that is one mistake we make. When you look at a bottle, you should look at the bottle and it should say 100% agave. Otherwise, you probably shouldn't touch it. It's going to give you a bad hangover.
Ah, okay. Well, lesson learned from maybe starting to drink too early and with less education than I have now. But talking about agave, because this is something else that I learned tonight that I did not know, and exactly what is agave?
Agave was a term given by a European scientist to the plant, and it is a species of the lily family. It is not a cactus. So it was given because of the flavor it gave. It is what is used for tequila. Other things, other spirits, come from other types of plants, not just agave. And like mezcal, not all mezcals are made from agave.
Well, now you're throwing out another term that I've heard before, but again, received much more education about mezcal before, because there are two other components to tequila and its origins that I learned tonight. What are those?
Mezcal is distilled only once. When you drink mezcal, you will see that it's smokier and it's probably stronger than tequila, because tequila is distilled twice. When you distill it twice, it becomes finer and not as aggressive in the palate. The Spaniards, when they arrived in Mexico, Mexicans were distilling the fermented pine of the agave plant. By distilling it once, they were drinking something called mezcal. the Spaniards thought it was too rough, and they decided to refine it by distilling it twice with better technology, the Arabic alambique, which is a still. And that's how tequila was born, by refining it. Earlier than mezcal, you have pulque, which is just the fermented milky juice out of the juice that the core of the plant produces, right in the center of the plant. It is sucked out by a hollow root with the mouth, put into a bucket, and then left to ferment, and they drink it.
So pulque and mezcal and tequila all come from the same plant. It's just what part and how it's processed that makes the difference?
No, mezcals can come from other plants other than agave, and pulques come from different plants other than blue agave.
Okay.
So for tequila to be tequila, it must come from 51% of its content blue agave.
I think that's indicative of the area as well, because when you think of the geography of Mexico and you think of a plant, then you may think that it would be in different regions, but because it has to be the blue agave for tequila, it's only from one particular area
or
state.
The country has established five different states of Mexico that can grow to the correct quality this species of blue agave.
And what state is that?
They are listed Jalisco, okay. Guanajuato, Nuevo León. There are two more that skip my mind, but they're mostly in the central area of Mexico.
The process of tequila, and again, this was so informative tonight, so thank you so much for doing this, because knowledge is power, as you said earlier, but it also gives you such a great appreciation of a history and a culture, because the process of tequila making or mezcal or pulque has originated many, many years ago. However, it's just been registered not too long ago, where you have to make sure that you're getting tequila from the proper location and that it has the proper seal and registry.
Correct.
And there are two things that you should look for on a bottle of tequila to make sure that you're getting the real deal. What is that?
Yes, it has to have the acronym CRT-NOM. That means that it is denomination of origin, and that is certified by the tequila regulating body of Mexico, and that it has adhered to the national law of manufacturing standards.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual process of manufacturing tequila has to stick to a specific law,
okay.
And that's an official norm, if you will.
Well, I have to give a mention to the brand that we tasted tonight, and we had three different tastings, one of the Blanco and of the Reposado, and then the Añejo. Am I correct?
Correct.
And three different products from the brand. Is it Herradura?
Herradura, yes.
Herradura tequila. Very nice, very different, and you can taste the difference, starting with the Blanco, which is maybe, I thought, had a little bit of a licorice taste or note to it. And the second one, the Reposado, I thought had it was a little creamier,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a tad sweeter. And but light, very light, very,
right.
Very smooth. And then the last one, Añejo, I thought was sort of like, I don't know if you've ever had a cream soda.
Sure.
But a cream soda without all the sugar, something very nice with just that hint of cream, which I thought was quite nice. And I also want to say that the Herradura is a artisan product. It's naturally made, and so you have to have a better appreciation for it, because when you talk about the process of making tequila,
the process of fermentation, most brands add different enzymes in yeast to the fermentation process, both to speed up the process and to change the flavor, whereas Herradura just lets it ferment itself and acquire its own flavor.
Which means you probably get various flavors depending on the climate, what's happening in the environment,
right.
and temperatures and all of that. And so you get probably something that's more robust, more rounded, and probably more flavorful.
More natural,
yeah.
Sure. Yes.
And sometimes that element of surprise is always nice.
Correct.
I think when you're making anything. Anything else you would like to say about the history and culture of tequila in Mexico?
Well, I think it would be great if the audience would understand that tequila should be enjoyed in the same fashion as you would enjoy a nice cognac, a brandy, or a really nice glass of wine. Tequila is not to be consumed in shots or maybe not even in cocktail. As a purist, I must say I'm a purist and I would not blend tequila with other things. But tequila, having tequila is a date. It's a date with the tequila and with the moment where you are. It will accentuate the moment that you're living and just make it nicer. With so many fine tequilas now in the market, I think now we can justify a true date with, you know, awakening our senses and really trying to see what each of the bottles is giving us.
Absolutely. Well, Arturo, thank you so much. And I think I will make myself a date with some tequila, a very nice tequila.
That's a good call. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Well, that's it for the show today, but I'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius. To find out more about the Traveling Culturati, visit the website at travelingculturati.com. Follow and share with me on social media and join the Travel Club. Special thanks to studio producer Brittany Riddle, video producer Howard Little, executive producer Jean Harley, and to you, thanks for tuning in. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati exclusively on HUR Voices.
You've been listening to the Traveling Culturati with travel pro Javon Harley. Tune in next week at the same time on HUR Voices.